We've been concentrating this week on the area of a friend. Who needs a friend? Well, I believe we all need a friend. But God in His marvelous goodness has left that person. We often speak about Christ. We often speak about the Father. But we have one that wants to teach us all things about God. He wants to lead us and guide us in all truth. How does He do it? He only uses the prescience of God's Word. He only speaks through God. He only speaks through the Word. So we've got nothing to be frightened of this morning. We've come here to really see plainly that we're going to concentrate on building the local church. We looked at, first of all, that God was going to use the servant to carry this one to Christ because He knew there was no other way that the man could be cured. We've seen this morning, just in some simple way, some of the things and how it actually works and how it actually works in mine and your life. But now we're concentrating now on the temple. God's temple down here is not only just the believer. It's the local church. Now if you open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you will see, if you study it carefully, the Corinthians, the most adulterous generation of vipers that ever lived, was doing it all the wrong way. Praise God. God wants to see us to do the right way. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you would see very plainly, just as an outline before we pray, that the church is a family and the goal is maturity. And that's in chapter 1, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. And then we can see then in the same chapter, we can see that the church is a field and the goal is quality. But then you set it out further and that the church is a temple and the goal is not only quality but quantity. God's looking for both, quality and quantity. But I want us to see this morning, will we ask the Lord, even the Holy Spirit through the Word, to teach you and me? That's the whole point of it, of Christianity, to come into some sort of maturity where we're going to reproduce in our own life. We are sheep. It's not pastors or elders or deacons or anybody that builds the local church. We are sheep. We are supposed to reproduce lambs. And I know you folks know enough about sheep down here. So, first of all, would you ask the Lord this morning, hey, don't forget He is God too, the Spirit to teach us through the Word of everything that He knows that we might then go out boldly and do it for Christ. If you are prepared, my friend, let's bow for prayer. We are awfully grateful, Father, this morning to come before You. And Father, never allow us to come before You to worship You in truth and in spirit, Father, if we desire not to do what You want us to do. Help us to understand that when we walk out of this building this morning, that we will do by faith what You've told us to do. We ask You to bless us and challenge us together, Father. We ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Now we're going to concentrate on a type in an area of Scripture so that we don't go out in the paddock too far. We're going to concentrate mainly in chapter 3 and verse 9 to 23. And here the Holy Spirit wants to teach us. Don't forget we're still talking about our friend, the Master Teacher. He's going to teach us something. The passage before us today in this particular section, and you can read it for yourself, you can see quite plainly explained, verse describes the building. And many times people say it's a building of a Christian life. Well, that might be valid application, but it's not the right interpretation. And we'll see it here very plainly. Why? Because Paul is discussing the local church, building of the local church and the local temple of God, right through the first three chapters. So we can't miss it. But I want to concentrate now from verse 6, chapter 6, and verse 19 to 20. Let's just glance at that for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20. It talks about the individual believer. And it's talking about God's temple. And there is a local assembly in view. So we have to then go over to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19 to 22. And in verse 19 of that same chapter, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 20, it says these words. Now therefore we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. It shows us now we are no longer strangers, but household of God. But in verse 20 it says, and the building upon this foundation, the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So we have to see the importance of what we're building on, but the way the local church can only be built. But in verse 24, just as an introduction, in whom the building fittedly framed together grow up into a holy temple in the Lord. And also in verse 22 it says, in whom you are also built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Paul points out that one day God will judge our labour in the relationship with the local church. Now, I don't know how you feel about the local church, but I want you to see it from God's perspective. God saves our filthy soul. And then we've got to now grow in grace and understanding. And we're talking about the umbrella. That's the best way I explain it to the Aboriginal people. We come now under the umbrella of God because God has fitly put some people together. He puts pastors and teachers and evangelists for the edification of the saints, for the building up of the local church. And the whole principle of it is to bring God glory. To be down here, us filthy, rotten sinners, saved by God's grace alone. Now we can bring glory to God, but it has to be in a collective structure. And God lays it down plainly. I want you to see now back where we started in the verse, and I said we're going to stay in an area. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13. I want you to see there comes a testing time. The fire will test the quality of each man's works. Now I have to bring something in to relate so we understand about working for the Lord. This week I've experienced some very, very good cooking because it's about the first time that I didn't have to do the cooking and everybody hasn't suffered from my cooking. The ladies have worked very tirelessly for the Lord. But I want us all to understand that the Spirit's trying to teach you and me that we will give an account to the Lord for the place that we worship the Lord in. There's a place that they've got to call what we call the spiritual home. Forgive me, I've only had one spiritual home since I've been saved. But there's such an important part of it. God is concerned about building, and I call it in quality. Not preachers or congregations only, but jointly fitted together. We see that it's not built on Paul or Silas. It's built, we'll see. So we're going to have a look now, because I'm a builder by trade. We're going to look at God's constructive way to do it. And we'll see that from verse 10 and verse 11. We can't miss it. There has to be certain ways. It says here in verse 10 and 11, plainly it says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another build thereupon. Let every man take heed how he build thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the most important part of the structure. If you know anything about building, and today why so many buildings collapse, there's a foundation. There is no foundation outside the man Christ Jesus. We said, well, we will all agree upon that. But it says, take heed. It's a warning of how we're going to build now, not only our life, but the church in a general sense. We all have a part to play. It's important to see it. It says the foundation is the most important. I've got here the building, the structure, the superstructure. Not built on Christ, it will collapse. It will definitely collapse. So we have to look in the same chapter to see the material. The material quite plainly laid out in verse 12 and 17. It starts out, says this, "Now if any man builds upon this gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay and stubble." So there's a comparison. Some of us even in the buildings, fancy building, a building with hay and stubble. Wouldn't last 20 minutes. Boom! He's all gone. So what is it? Let's look at the comparison. Gold, silver and precious thing. He's doing this symbolically. He's doing this symbolically to show us that you don't build buildings out of gold. Everybody come and rob it. So what is he talking about? Referring to something. Now we understand, we all that know the Lord, there's nothing more precious than the Word of God. You could go to hundreds of verses. I'm just going to go to a few. Follow me, please. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 10. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 10. "Respond my instruction, not as silver and knowledge rather than choice gold." But verse 11 comes up very plainly. It says the wisdom is better than rubies and all the things that might be desired not to be compared to it. There is nothing. There is nothing in all this world that we can build upon better than the most fantastic product that was ever built and ever made. The Word of God. Now here's the thing we want to consider as individual believers in Christ. How much is you and I spending time with the Lord? I don't know when you got saved, but when I got saved, I couldn't get enough. Man, I went crazy. In fact, people reckon I should have been doing my work. Well, I should have been reading the Bible. But we hungered. We hungered after it. We thought, but Lynn, you know, you don't like pointing out that individual, but truly, but didn't we hunger? Why? Because we could see the value. There's nothing that we're going to build a local church on better. So we're looking at a comparison. When you remember that Paul was writing about wisdom in the first three chapters, we see that what the wisdom is that we've got the foundation, which is Christ the Lord, and we can't fail. He'll never fail. So now the responsibility be given to every believer in Christ. And he said, now take heed. It's a warning how you build. Why? Because one day we'll stand before the Lord and give an account. Do we realize that? Do we understand the importance? See, God wants into Bendigo here a fantastic structure. Why? Because then they say, they're weird people. But the most fantastic thing they're building on is the Word of God in their own life, yes, but collectively together. So God's laying it down plainly. I say, let's dig deep. Let's dig deep. Go into the deep things of God that it might be such a changing factor in my life and it will strengthen the local church. Local church. So here he now is laying out. We've seen the structure. We've seen the foundation. But I want to look at the plan. I used to have a responsibility only over 50-odd carpenters on the job. And they used to come to me and attack me all the time as a construction foreman. They used to say, well, what will we do? And I say, follow the plan. When in doubt, follow the plan. If the architect's made a mistake, but this plan is perfect. All we have to do is follow the plan. Now, where's the plan? In verse 18. And 20. "Let no man desire himself. If any man amongst you seem to be wise in the world, let him become a fool that he might be wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolish with God, for it is written, it's taken the wise their own craftiness." A humbleness. Wisdom. The only wisdom to follow the plan properly in God's sight. It says here, not special education, not money. And here it shows us quite plainly, not on famous men or women. That's not how we build. That is man-made. That is what we call promotion. It says, if you think you're wise, become a fool. It's in humility that we are desperate people faithfully trying in some small way to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. He came, he put not on himself, he put himself a form of a servant. He made himself of no reputation. The Corinthians were doing the opposite way. They're trying to build a church on famous name. Oh, I like Paul, I like Silas, I like somebody. Wait a minute. Isn't the Word of God? And he was saying to us, we have to do it right. Verse 19 says, for the wisdom world is foolish of God. For it takes the wise in their own craftiness. The moment any man of God starts to think any like the world, that he has reached some sort of spiritual plateau. It's pride. Spiritual pride. Spiritual pride of accomplishment. Yeah, spiritual pride of even knowledge, of your theologian knowledge. And all that does is puff us up. We actually think we're really in some sort of position with the Lord. But the Bible here says that God, we always apply it to the world. But God has no respect of people. God wants us to see plainly. If God's going to do it, we can't rob God. We have to say, God did it. So we have to build properly and wisely. But brothers and sisters, this morning, we need, as I always nearly end up everything, and every year I've ever been here, we need a motivation. A motivation. You might say, Brother Michael, I've sat, been with the Lord here now, been in other churches, and been, oh, not saying that. Are we builders or wreckers? What have we left behind? What have we accomplished in the Lord? What have we contributed to the local church anywhere? So we have to have a motive. I want to concentrate, and this is the message this morning, only in these verses. All the rest is just like an introduction. I want to concentrate on these things and pray God that the Spirit of God will talk to us in such a way to show us what He has done. What verses? 21 to 23. Motivation. We must build on the right motivation in our spiritual life. Put everything aside and concentrate on it. It says, therefore, let no man glory in man, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Capital or the world or life or death or things to come, all are yours. And it finishes up the last verse, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. We'll just concentrate it. I couldn't possibly have hours to blow this up. Only God can speak to us and show us the importance. I want us to see right out of this. It doesn't matter the world or anything, names, famous names or anything. We have to see what God has done for me as an individual. People say, oh, I got a place in heaven. My friend, I want you to see what the Word says there plainly. All are yours. Now, when God says this word, all, Alan, you would know, probably Greek, Hebrew, something. Try to get the word all. Can you try to explain it? I can't, brother. It means every single thing in God is mine and yours. Everything that has ever been and ever will be. First of all, not only that the salvation is only in the man Christ Jesus, and we have obtained it. It is nothing that we have done. A lot of people say, I call upon the name of the Lord. But it's still God, which turned not one away. And he died for all. So don't think I'm saying some one thing or another. I'm not. I'm saying that's still God. And without God this morning, you and I actually deserve the wrath of judgment and separation from God forever. But God in his marvelous goodness, he done something for us. Why did God save our miserable soul? He saved us not to feel comfortable. He said, I've saved you, and you'll know it, and your life will surely show it. There'll be something different about me every day of my life. Why? Because it's a transformation. Not in heaven, now down here. So what do? As I said this morning, I present myself to God. Well, that's part of it. But then there's a growing in grace and understanding. And then you start to understand what he's done. He's done an absolute miracle in my life and yours. And now he said, eyes can't even see, but ears and everything. You just don't understand what I've got ready for you. But he wants us to know. Because why? Because that excites us. Not because what he's done. We're not working for our salvation because he's done it for us. We had no hope. We're on our way to hell. And God said, now listen, all I want from you is a reasonable service. Reasonable service. And then what you're going to do, you've got to be a master builder. Can you mix a bit of mortar? Hey, Tiger, can you mix a bit of mortar and add a mix of cement? Can you wheel a wheelbarrow? Of course you can wheel a wheelbarrow. Okay. So we're all building together. But let's get it understandable. Don't look around and look at the other person building. I sacked so many people that used to come to me and say, oh, Freddie Brown around the outside building, not doing the right thing. I used to say, listen, mate, by the time you come around and tell me that, so help me God, you've done nothing. You've done absolutely nothing. You've wasted my time, your time, and everybody. I'm in charge here, and I'll know what he's done because I know how many hours it takes to do that job. Don't look at somebody else trying to build a local church. What are you and I doing? That is a question that the Spirit wants to challenge. If there's something that you can do in the local church to build the church in such a way, yes, you can start to realize what God has done for you as an individual. Everything. I love that last verse. I don't know what about time, but here we go in verse 23. And ye are Christ. Ye are Christ. Oh, I don't know how you folks feel about it, but I feel really silly sometimes. I feel silly most times. But I couldn't be the only representation of Christ. I might be the only Christ that people see. That makes you feel very humiliated. I mean, you just don't come up to scratch. But the Spirit wants to teach us that you are Christ. You're in Christ. You've been transformed into Christ. If you want to use the term, we're like little Christ. And people got to see that. My Lord come on this world to give him himself for others, not to be comfortable for himself. A ransom for many. So he's asking us. He's begging us. Now he says, look, my friend, you're not going to build the local church the way that I want you to build it if you don't do it correctly. So he's trying to encourage us to do it right. Okay, the foundation's right. We've got no problem with it. We'll leave God's part with God. The challenge this morning, are you and I master builders? Surely you'll be able to turn around and say, well, the Lord allowed me by his grace and strength to do that. But it's for the benefit of the local church. I pray God will speak to us, that we all have to do our part. And I know God's people will do right. But God is asking us, why? Let's get the big picture. It's that others might see. And they'll say, we have never seen anything like this before in our life. It must be God. And God will do it. Let's build properly. Let's honour the Lord. Let's do our bit. Let's bow for prayer. We are awfully grateful, Father, for your goodness to us. We simply ask, Father, that the Holy Spirit, through the written word, would show us quite plainly, Father, what you have done for us. And words, Lord, cannot express. There's no words that could come out of gratitude. So, Father, you're saying, if you understand these things, my friend, I want a reasonable service. I want you, in your simple way, to concentrate on building the local church and do our part. We ask you to help us and strengthen us and bless us together, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.